Hello, everybody. I just wanted to make a little note at the beginning of this show that the next time we'll probably be releasing podcasts will be in mid-September. So if you're subscribed to the show, stick around. Don't unsubscribe. We're putting Power Word Gold on a quote-unquote low power mode while we're preparing, me and April are preparing to move. And so, yeah, stick around. All right. Thanks, everybody. And now, on with the...
You're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold Podcast episode number 70. I'm Jim Youngkin, along with our guest E7. Hey, how's it going, E7?
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
It's going great over here.
It's going great over there. Now, should I call you E7 or E7F?
Oh, just call me E7. That's probably way easier.
E7. All right. E7, you have... you've been following Power Word Gold for quite a while, and I had mentioned that I thought I had you on Skype, but actually it wasn't Skype, but it was actually one of my few Google Hangouts that I just kind of did at one point when I was, I think maybe that was back when Twitch was kind of crappy sometimes. And
might have been, yeah. I think you were trying out the Steam, the YouTube streaming thing.
Yeah.
That I just introduced with Google Plus.
The Google Hangouts. Yeah, that was it. We had you, we had Trimble, and we had
Matthew McKinnon.
So good times. So welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Do you want to let people know how they can find out more from you?
Sure. As Jim already said, I'm E7F. You can find me on Twitter at E7F. And my website is at e7f.com. That's the letter E, the number 7 spelled out, and then the letter F.
Nice.
It's
and
a stupid name. I should probably change that sometime.
You didn't follow my rules for picking domain names.
No, I really didn't.
For anybody out there who's ever thinking about making a domain name, It's called the bar test. If you could be in a loud bar and you could tell your domain name to somebody that, you know, that could barely hear what you're saying, and you had to do it quickly, you want to be able to just say it and that's it. So having numbers in it and having words that can be spelled multiple ways is hard, but
yeah,
it doesn't usually work. But anyways, E7F. Let's see. Shall we just jump right into the show? You're a listener of the show, so when I was going over the show with you, you're like, yeah, I know.
I know how this goes.
Oh, by the way, do you want to mention where you're from? Because you don't sound like you're from...
I don't sound from where I'm from as well, I guess. I'm from Germany. And, yeah.
So we've had Finnish, we've had English, and we've had German. Who else? Have we had anybody else? I don't know. I think that's where most of the people that we've had on the show that aren't from America or from England. I was watching Top Gear, and was it Top Gear? Top Gear? So it was Top Gear. They were interviewing a famous race car driver from Finland. So I was like, that sounds that accent sounds familiar. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right into it here. We're going to start out with some shout-outs, and being somebody who knows the show, you had already prepared those. Do you want to go ahead and give any shout-outs, E7?
Sure. So here are my Twitter shout-outs, because I'm not really on any other social network, and those go out to Shifty Warlock, Power Word Gold, Goblin Rasid, Ryan Eccles, Wild Prophets, Mithrildar, Gimsgold, and Trimble IRL.
Now, Mithrildar, is he also from Germany?
I have no idea. He just recently started following me once you put me on your gold-making list.
Ah, okay. He's a consortium guy, though, too.
Yeah.
All right. And so, shout-outs for me. We have... These are Twitter shout-outs as well, just because I think out of all the social networks, I mean, I'm on every single social network, pretty much, but Facebook's pretty good, too, but it takes a while. Twitter, I think, is pretty much the most interactive. Let's see. Oh, no. I know it's going to mess this one up. Hold on a second. I think it's... Give me just a second here. My classic bad handwriting. Let's see here. It was JoJo. Yeah, so JoJo, Too Old to Be a Gamer, Fade. Who do we got? Andrew and Sabrina, Aldred Eccles, Skolnick, E7F, Aerogroth. I hope you had a good vacation. You'll have to let us know how that went. Haster, Corey Sanders, Calior, Droth, Ray, and Hannah. So, thanks. And everybody else who interacts with us on Twitter. Okay, so let's go ahead and to get into what we've been doing in gold making recently. E7, take it away.
Yeah, I've been mostly doing just my usual routine in gems and glyphs. But I started to get into the Uber Blues a bit. And I already sold quite a few pieces of those. So that's really something I'm going to keep doing. And I also took a look into the Troll Transmog pieces that drop on the Throne of Thunder. Mm-hmm. It's like the usual Transmog stuff. People really don't sell them for very high prices. But I flipped a few pieces for about 800 to 1,000 gold, which is pretty decent considering I bought them for about 50. And they look like the old Suleiman and Zul something. One of those, yeah, Zulgurup pieces. So people really like those, I guess.
Cool. And let's see. For me, what I've been doing is, you know, like, kind of like you mentioned, normal routine. I think it's kind of strange, like, I'll get into these phases of, like, kind of research where I have an idea, and, like, the idea, I end up digging into it, but then I still need to be making gold, so then the gold-making side just kind of goes into autopilot for a little while, like, yeah. So, but I've been continuing to work my same markets, mainly making money through 83 to 84 green items, or, you know, Mr. Pandaria items, and also 87 to 88 Mr. Pandaria seems to be the bigger ones. Engineering has actually been doing pretty good. It's kind of interesting. By engineering, mainly, I just mean Ghost Iron Dragonlings and Tinker's Gears. And it's been interesting because I have an engineer on both sides, so I can actually
compare a bit between the factions.
So, sorry, my wife is asking me a question. She's trying to be quiet. What did you ask one more time? Oh, where are you going? If it's something that you can put in the kitchen and I can eat later.
Yeah, like soup.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, she's bringing me some food. So it's been interesting because it's really strange because, I mean, as somebody who's been trying to help people make gold for so long, it's, you kind of ask yourself sometimes, like, you kind of feel like, not is what I'm doing helpful, but you just start to see, like, all the landscape of gold making, and that, you know, you can only bring, or not you, but, you know, I can only bring in my one perspective. So it's kind of interesting to have, you know, if I'm doing one market, that might be good on one server or one faction, but that might not necessarily work for everybody else. But it's interesting to have engineering on both sides because I can see how, if there's more competition on one side, how the sales are affected. So, you know, I'm doing the same exact routine with the same prices on both sides, but my alliance side has a lot less dedicated competition, I would have to say. My horde side has a lot more dedicated competition, which means I make less sales on there. So I'm trying to think of anything else that's kind of stuck out. I've been going through and clearing out my banks. True Gold has been selling for, like, I mentioned it on the last show, but for like 500 gold a piece. But the mats are also about 400 and something gold a piece. So I have also mats. I've been going through and selling Cataclysm mats, like Volatiles. And so that's something I've been looking at clearing out. Greater Eternal Essence. Some mats I had been kind of saving volatile or not volatile earth, essence of air. So anything that has for heirloom enchants, I had some back stock from disenchanting enchanted Thorian blades before it was taken away. So I had a bunch of greater eternal essence from that. So just clearing out the banks and. Mm. It's been interesting to see how old world mats continue to even go higher in value. Some, like Cataclysm mats, Hypnotic Dust was selling for 25 gold a piece, which is kind of crazy. So that's what I've been up to lately. And also doing a lot of research. I won't get into the heavy details now. I'll kind of save that for a blog post, but I've been doing some research into ways of getting some items into Trade Skill Master groups. I'll talk more about that at some point. I don't want to give it away. It's gonna be a bigger project than I thought.
reduce yourself and playing around with
Trade Skill Master. It has to do with random enchants, or suffixes, and. You guys will find out about it. There's a little tease for you guys. Alright, let's go ahead and jump into our simple tips and tricks, and this one is actually from you this week. Yeah. E7, do you want to talk about your simple tip and trick?
Sure, this is actually not really a tip or a trick, but it's an add-on recommendation, and the add-on is called Trade Forwarder, and it does exactly what it says. It forwards trade chat to you when you're not in a city to read it. So if you're like me and you raid a lot, you can still read chat, and that is really helpful if someone is selling Ghost Iron Ore and you're looking out for a deal. So you can just whisper them in between tries after wiping on Dark Animus for hours and hours, and maybe make a bit of a deal there.
And Trade Forwarder is interesting, and the way that it works is that if other people on the server are using it, then they send out the information into a channel. Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Into a global channel that's then picked up by other people and.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's also a huge downside. If you're playing on a low or medium population realm, and there are probably not a lot of people using the add-on, so you should probably make your guild all install it. So you always have someone sitting in a city forward trade to you.
I don't know if this is possible or not. I wonder if a starter edition account would allow you to forward trade or not. I don't know if starter edition accounts can use global channels. That'd be interesting. Now it does it through the channels. Anyways, I like starter edition accounts because they're free and they don't cost anything. Technically, you could run two accounts.
That's what I'm doing right now. I have my bank account on my second account.
Okay.
So I always have my
and that way you can
sitting
even,
in the valley
you
of
even
honor.
Switch over and trade, do the trades or whatever if you need to.
Oh yeah, it's really helpful because. As I said, I'm a huge trader. I'm rating kind of progression. I'm 10 out of 13 heroic at the moment. And so I'm basically missing out the best times to post my gems because Wednesdays and Thursdays is when I rate. So that's like Wednesday is the lockout for the European servers. That's when the ID resets. So that's basically when everyone is raiding. And that's when everyone is getting gear. That's when everyone is posting their gems. So having two accounts... while I raid on the one account, I can have my bank on the other account, and I can just post all my stuff in between tries or while doing trash. But don't tell my raid leader.
They're like, E7, come on! Like, Alt-Tab down. Tab down. Yeah. Yeah, I guess if basically. You had two monitors or something, or you could switch them fast enough. Or just have like in a smaller window, just like switching back and forth.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I had actually tried to consider moving a level 25 guild over to my server. Oh, so Trade Forwarder. Check it out.
Check it out.
That's great. And so I had purchased a level 25 guild on a second server, and I was considering how to get it over to my main server, and unfortunately I have 11 characters on my main server, so I don't have the ability to transfer it over, but I was like, well, maybe I can just create a new, or you know, start up one of my old accounts and transferred the character and this guild over to the second account, and then I could just give,
transfer the leadership,
give the guild over to my main server. But then I was like, and then my wife's like, well, I can make a character. I'm like, yeah, but you have to be the guild leader for a week and before you can transfer the guild. And I don't know if it's, I thought about it, I'm like, you know, the only perk I'm really worried about is, you know, the bountiful bags and stuff like that. Mm. I mean, having access to buying stuff is kind of cool too, but I decided in the end it probably wasn't worth it. So, but I did pick up the guild for 7,800.
Steal.
And then kicked everybody out of the guild, 500 members or something like that. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the topics, shall we?
Okay.
All right. So the first topic that we're going to talk about, you had mentioned that you had done some patch note reading for 5.4. Do you want to talk about the couple things you saw in there?
Sure. The first thing is that Ember Silk Cloth farming in Deepholm is nerfed again. They already nerfed the respawn rates of some of the mobs down, I don't know the area.
There's Fractured Front is the one.
The Fractured Front is the one where the dwarves are fighting the dwarves, uh-huh. Right?
And then Burlock Stand is the one on the north east, or northeast, where they're on like a little pedestal.
Yeah, right. So Blizzard nerfed the Stone Trog Berserkers and the Stone Trog Geomancers, and they will now only drop trivial items, and they can no longer be pickpocketed. So obviously, they are not going to drop cloth anymore. So all the people who farmed Emissary cloth there should.
And also some 81 items. I remember they also.
Oh yeah, all the greens and stuff. So it's surprisingly a bit that they waited this long to nerf a farming spot from Cataclysm. But on the other hand, I always thought that they were going to do it eventually. I'm just surprised it's this late now.
Like, well, I mean, the spot was interesting for multiple times. I mean, the first time I heard about it was when I had done the treasure potion trash dash, and we had tried to find areas where you could get as much vendor trash as possible in an hour. But also, it was a great spot, and it might still be this way. At least through this expansion, it was a great spot for farming charms of lesser charms. No, what is it? Grizzly trophies
for the Darkmoon Fair.
And then charms, lovely charms for. I think they also dropped there for the Love Is in the Air bracelets. Because I think they're still at the level where you would still get some XP, so that's why they're able to drop those items. The areas had kind of been kind of crowded anyway because of cross realm zones. So,
I guess they won't be crowded as much anymore.
All right, and what was the other thing that you ended up reading as?
The other thing was that all permanent item enhancements provided by enchanting, engineering, leatherworking, tailoring, and various vendors and quests are now able to be applied to any item of any level. So that means you can use those enhancements on Elum items. And as far as I know, they only confirmed enchanting so far, but now it has apparently been confirmed that you can use the engineering, leatherwork, and tailoring stuff as well. So you should probably hang on to a lot of those for 5.4, because people will get a lot of gear from LFR and flex rating and normal rating. And they also want to enchant the Elden items because they will get scaled.
So we already had heirlooms. Like, heirlooms weren't already powerful.
Right.
When you go, like, into dungeons and, like, your tank drops out and then your whole rest of the group just keeps going because they kill stuff. They kill stuff so fast that it's not like anybody even really takes any damage. It's been crazy. So basically, leatherworking, armor kits, tailoring, spell threads are also... And engineering, we had talked a little before the show. I'm not quite sure what engineering has that could be given to anybody else. Now, did it mention... Inscription in there?
It didn't say in the patch notes, but I think MMO Champion mined it a few weeks ago already.
Okay.
So I think the shoulder enchants should work as well. And it says things bought from various vendors, so that would probably also include shoulder enchants, as you can.
So now, what didn't they have some? Who were the enchants that you would get from Deepholm?
That I think shoulder. Those were head enchants.
Head enchants, okay.
I'm not too...
They didn't add any of those into Mist of Pandaria.
No, they didn't.
So what do people do for head enchants nowadays? Is there no such... Did they get rid of head enchants?
Yeah, they got rid of head enchants because I think the reason would probably be the legendary meta gem. Probably too powerful. Yeah, I guess if you were selling one of these the heirloom enchants, like the lower level ones, it might be worth looking into. You should dump them now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure which is going to turn out more powerful, because maybe they're doing weird things with the item scaling. So the old enchants could be still valid up until like level something, and then the other enchant takes over. I'm not too sure about that, so I don't.
Yeah, I think the people that are, people that are going to want to use enchants on their heirlooms for leveling is, you know, always going to be good. I mean, any more little bit of power you can get while you're leveling is, you know, the less, you know, you have to actually work on leveling, because, you know, if you can kill stuff faster. But I think PvP, a lot of this is going to be, a lot of people with PvP are going to be doing this to make sure. You know, because it's kind of a little bit like the way that we used to do it back in the old days of Twinking, where, you know, I would get the level 70, you know, enchant to my, I think it was to shoulders, for PvP shoulder enchant that had a bunch of stamina, and I would apply it to an item and give it to my character before heirlooms are around and stuff like that. So I think I had I love Twinking until they decided, oh, it's not good for you guys to just be able to kill people so easy. Let's put you in your own. And so I had like a 19, a 29, and like a 39 twink. And like the 29 and 39 twink just like... I'm still mad about that. The queues were just so long because there was only a few, you know. All right. Okay, so the next thing... So it'll be interesting to see which of those items start selling. So you might start looking in your tailoring and leatherworking books to see if you were to to pick an enchant to put on an heirloom, what would you do? And then that might be valuable. And if you find out that, say, there's a gap, say, like, well, there's an enchant for this, say, you know, one-handed weapon. There's an enchant for agility, but it only is from Cataclysm. There's nothing like it in Mist of Pandaria. I'm just using that as an example. I don't know if that's true, but you might, like, put out each type of armor and say, okay, what would be the best for this? And then that might be something that you might look at. It'll take a while. My guess is that since a lot of people don't read patch notes and stuff like that, it'll take a while for them to catch on, but
yeah,
being a little bit ahead of
that. And I guess most people, like the average player, will probably just be a bit lazy and just buy the Pandaria ones for their items. I don't think the average player is probably not going to invest that much time into it. Yeah, I don't know anyone who's really min-maxing their leveling outs.
Yeah.
If you're twinking, that's something different. But mm-hmm. if you're just leveling, I guess you're just going to throw a shoulder enchant on there and just call it a day.
Yeah, bottom line, if you are making a lot of money selling 1,500 gold one-handed agility enchants, then your days might be numbered because they'll have something else. All right, so let's see here. The next thing I wanted to talk let's take a pause for just a second for a sponsor, and then we'll get into the rest of our topics that we're going to talk about. So the sponsor for this show, not really a surprise, the sponsor for the show is the Power Word Gold Guides. There are two different guides to making gold in World of Warcraft. We have the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 1, which is a 100-plus page guide to making gold with add-ons. And then we have the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 2, which is a 75-page guide to making gold in Mists of Pandaria. Price for those guides are $5, $10, $15, or $20 each, four different prices. We all four prices purchase the same guides. We just leave it up to you to decide which price you'd like to pay to support the blog, podcast, and live stream by purchasing one of the guides. To purchase one of those guides, head over to powerwordgold.net. Look for the banner ad, one of the purchase links on the sidebar, or the store link at the top of the page. And thanks to everybody who purchases the guide. It really helps out. So, all right, that's that. And if you'd like to, we're also looking for other sponsors for the show. So if you have a product or service that you feel like the listeners would appreciate, go ahead and send us an email at powerwordgold@yahoo.com, and we'll talk to you about rates and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, let's get back to the show. Now, back to the show. All right. Other 5.4 stuff that we wanted to talk about is virtual realms.
Yeah. They are going to be a huge deal. So quick introduction to the virtual realms for everyone who hasn't really been following the patch notes. So Blizzard finally decided to tackle the low and medium population realm problem. Like, people have been really complaining about how low their population is on their realm, and that obviously doesn't really make the game a lot of fun. And basically, Virtual Realms is just a way better version of Cross Realm. They will group multiple servers together, and you will be able to join a single guild. You can rate the current tier with the people in your multi-server guild, and the auction house will also be shared by multiple servers. So for all intents and purposes, your low population realm will probably be turned into a high population realm just overnight. And obviously that is going to have a huge impact on the markets and on how you will operate to make gold. So you should really be prepared for that.
So speaking of being prepared for that, I kind of had given my predictions on the show about the ways they could do it. There was either the let's just do this all in one shot and let's get it over with, and let's create kind of some mega servers where it's essentially even more high population than maybe a highest population, but maybe they would just do, you know, six big virtual servers, and that way there wouldn't have to be, you know, it would just get it all out of the way in one shot. Now that would cause a lot of kind of chaos a little bit, because there would be, you know, I don't think they'll do it that way, because, you know, I think what they'll end up doing is merging slowly as time goes on, a few here and a few there, to kind of keep the culture shock down a little bit. Either, you know, two low pops to make a medium pop, or whatever they gauge is the, you know, the best, like, solution. The
ideal population and stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, my prediction is probably about three or four low to medium population realms to form essentially a high population realm.
So you think that ultimately they'll what do you think about, say, server faction? Do you think they'll take factions into account when?
I think they will, and that's still one of the things I'm really thinking about, because I'm playing on a high population realm, but we are like, I think, about 80% horde.
Stick a couple of low pops of mostly Alliance on there, and you guys wouldn't even really notice.
We really would notice, because suddenly we can't just kill all the world bosses and stuff. That's the one thing I'm still thinking about, whether they're actually going to do that, or maybe just like merge two high population realms as one really horde favored and one really Alliance favored, and to get PvP going or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure about that, but that wouldn't really have a huge impact on your auction house anyway. Like the biggest impact would probably be if the case I described with the several low or medium population realms into one high population realm.
Now, you've played on both low and high population. Do you want to talk a little bit about people like me who haven't really played too much on high population realms? Do you want to talk a little bit about what some of the differences you've noticed in between the two?
Sure. I played on a low end of the medium population realm, and I transferred to a high population realm at the start of this year, and what I noticed is that my profits just skyrocketed. it's just as simple as that. I played on the low population realm for about 9 months and made probably around 350k during those 9 months, and then I transferred to the high population realm and I hit the million within 4 months. So I probably easily made double the gold I would have made if I had stayed on the low population realm. So the biggest difference is, on a low population realm, you might sell, well, you're going to sell a lot less things. I'm mainly talking about glyphs and gems here. But you can sell them at much higher prices. I was pretty much the sole supplier of glyphs on my old server, and I basically sold all my glyphs for about 350 gold, because there's kind of the price that I deemed kind of still acceptable. I didn't really want to sell for like 500, because I just could. I didn't really want it to be that mean.
One glyph for that much, and I was sick thinking about buying it, but I wanted that stupid moonkin glyph, so.
Astral. Yeah, people were still hating on me on Trade Chat, but they had to buy from me because
they could go level up a scriptionist if they wanted to.
True. Well, so basically on this old server, I sold a lot less glyphs, but I sold them for higher prices. And the first thing you notice when you go into a high population realm is the huge culture shock. You will sell a lot more things, but at really low prices. Nowadays, my average glyph price is probably going to be, I can't look it up right now, but I'm going to guess about 50 to 60 gold. Mm-hmm. But I'm just selling 10 times more, at least. And so, but of course, the med prices are going to be different. Like, you have a lot higher supply on the high population realm.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, they aren't that huge of a difference to justify the huge price gap. So like your profit margin is going to be way higher on the low population realm, but you're going to sell way less.
Yeah.
On the high population realm, you have a much thinner profit margin, but you are going to sell so much more.
Did you feel like a chicken in the hen house when you got into your new?
Oh yeah, I was the big fish in the small pond, and now I'm like a medium sized fish in an ocean.
But there's also a lot more customers.
Yeah, exactly. You are just going to sell way more, and that is the thing that is probably going to screw over a lot of people. On these servers who are going to be merged, because they are probably all used to being a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you have this ocean and you will see which fish is going to eat the other one.
It's not just that though. It's interesting because it's not just the technique of the person doing the sales. This is the thing that I had actually started to come to realize. It's also going to be the supplies. A supply of multiple servers are all going to flood together. And whereas I can maintain by just, you know, once a day going in and picking up, for example, like for my markets, the flipping markets, I can go in and pick up the items that are available, you know, the low-priced items that I flip, and not just picking them up to flip them, but also picking them up to keep them off the auction house so that, you know, my higher-priced items are the ones that people, you know, are available to purchase. But, oh, throw, like, two or three more realms of my size, like, it's going to be interesting.
Two or three more chimps fighting over the items. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, yeah, it'll, you know, but I'll also, at least initially, there's the potential that I'll have such a high amount of stock that I could just kind of push through, but it'll also be, it's just going to be interesting. Like, I don't know. I'm trying not to worry too much about it. I'm thinking about it. I mean, I might even start looking at playing around more with a high population realm that I have access to. Because one of the things that I've been doing since using Trade Skill Master 2.0 is, because TSM 2.0 allows you so easily to create percent-based pricing for groups, I've been going through and running, like, just really quickly logging in, posting items on some of my alternate servers that I didn't really play around with. But now that it's so easy to put items into, you know, percent-based pricing, I just put a group together, two groups, go throw some items up on the auction house. And I know I did have one. I have one server that's, I picked specifically because it is high population that I've been playing around on, and I might actually start just experimenting with my current markets on that high population realm, because, you know, I got, you know, a couple thousand gold, quite a bit of gold on there to play around with, and I might just start experimenting with some of my markets and see what the differences are, so that I can maybe be ready if and when this happens to my server.
I think the difference. The differences between the population might be a bit less severe in things like the leveling items or the transmog stuff, because those are slow markets and usually not a lot of people play around in those.
Yeah,
but well, I'm in glyphs and I'm
yeah.
Gems.
You're in the two. You're at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
the highest two.
Yeah, a lot of people dabble around in those markets, and a lot of people fight really tenaciously over them. So if you merge people like that into one big realm, there's going to be some blood flowing there.
Yeah, I mean, I just imagine that. I would say that for low to medium population servers, there's probably an ecosystem that supports maybe two or three main sellers in each of those markets. Yeah. Now, merge three of those realms together, and now you have six people that used to be king of the hill, now all, like... Ultimately, not looking at it from a gold-making perspective, but looking at it from a player, a normal player perspective, you're gonna... All your mats and all your items are probably gonna... Price are probably gonna go down. So for normal players, it seems like it's great because now things are cheaper. But for people trying to make the gold, like you said, more thinner margins, but more sale potential.
Yeah. The thing about these players, like, I know it about myself. I get kind of possessive about my markets. Like, I was really possessive of my glyph market on that old server, because I was, again, pretty much the only one who had all the glyphs. I posted all the time. I kind of dictated the prices, and once I got on this high population realm, I just needed to realize that I can't just keep doing that anymore. I kind of have to go a bit with the flow. I need to let things go a bit and just see where they're going, and keep my routine up, and I'm still making gold. I'm making way more than I did before. But if you are that possessive of a market on a high population realm, you're going to have a really bad time, because you just can't keep it up. by the time you started to, like, buy everything up and Yeah, reset prices. 15 people have already posted.
There's this really fine line between knowing when to apply pressure strategically and knowing when you're getting too wrapped up in it and you're gonna make a lot of mistakes. I think new gold makers tend to think that they can reset markets. They get this idea in their head about resetting markets and they get excited and they talk about, oh well, I think that this item should sell for, and usually it's, especially if it's crafted items, well, I think, let's just say for example, I think belt buckles should sell for this much. So I just bought up all the belt buckles and then I put them up for a higher price, and then what happens? They come back
10 minutes later it's down by 60%.
People have crafted a bunch of new ones and put them right underneath at the old price. Yeah. So, but it's not to say you can't, you know, apply pressure to people, but like you said, it might be something that's a lot more when you have, I would imagine on your high population server, it's a lot harder to apply pressure to people just because there's so many competitors.
Yeah.
All right. So virtual realms, and I think it'll be interesting to wait and see how they actually do the merges, and then we'll, you know, I'll worry more about how it's going to work, but something to keep in mind. Okay. So the next topic I wanted to talk about was fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it. Now, I think this phrase might be associated with like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous. I think that's the first place, you know, that I think I remember hearing it come from. But this is the idea that if you're not good at something, if you want to be something, just fake that you're it, and eventually you will be it. So, you know, if you want to be a gold maker, just start doing stuff that you think a gold maker would do, and eventually you'll go from being a fake gold maker to being a real gold maker. And I think that this idea, as it applies to gold making, is just start doing stuff. I think, you know, a lot of people, maybe they find out about gold making. If they're like me, you get some weird like introduction to gold making. Like people just like, you know, they just Google something, like, you know, they hear about something or somebody recommends something to them, or they Google it and they're like, whoa, there's all these. And, you know, you see, like, if you Google stuff like on YouTube and stuff, you'll see like 3,000 gold a day or 3,000 gold in 1 hour. But I think people getting started have this idea that they'll never get to the point of making a lot of gold. Or they just don't know how to kind of get started. But this idea of faking it till you make it is just start off doing some little thing. And then, you know, keep doing it, and eventually you'll get to the point where you'll be like, oh, I was just pretending to be a gold maker, but now I'm actually no. And the transition, at least for a lot of people, you know, for me at least, it just happens over, you know, slowly over time. What do you think about this idea?
I think it's a very natural idea. Basically, that's kind of how I started with gold making. I Googled how to make gold. Basically, I got back into WoW in patch 4.something, like beginning of last year, and I started with 13,000 gold, and I wanted to get into raiding again. And you know, it's not really a lot of gold if you consider how much you have to pay for on equip items and chance and repairs and stuff. So I Googled how to make gold, and I found your stream, and I basically started just copying what you did. Basically, I faked being Jim, if you want to see it like that. So I didn't really have a lot of... I didn't really know how all this stuff worked, but I started copying the processes. Mm-hmm. And soon enough, I just... I just knew how when I do this, this stuff happens. I can do this to make gold. And then soon enough, you will see other ways to make gold. The markets you could explore, maybe things other people didn't see. And that usually, I think that starts relatively soon. I started with Transmog because that's basically when I started when this whole Transmog craze was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge mistake. It was I went down from 13K to about 4K. but then I just started like doing my professions, my inscription, my alchemy and that stuff. And I started selling those things, and soon enough I got routines in, and that's how you start making gold.
Yeah.
Just need to get used to your routines, I guess.
Once you start seeing that money come into the mailbox, and you know, I have postal, so it would show, you know, at the end when you close the box, it would say, you know, you brought in this much. And you know, now with bulk mail inbox, which I like having in addition to postal, it'll show it right at the top. Bam, mm. You know, 7,300 or, you know, 4,000. And you know, how you had mentioned getting into it, it's interesting. It kind of is almost like cooking a little bit. Like when you first getting,
start following recipes.
Yeah, you got recipes that people have given you. And one of the things, and I'm not a good cook at all, but for a little while I was, you know, experimenting. One of the things I noticed about cooking is while there are recipes, I think when people are first starting to cook, they, you know, they follow the recipes very down to the, you know, measure it exactly. And, you know, I'm sure there's some kind of things that are very important to follow the recipe just right. But I just realized that in cooking, there's no real, you know, there's a recipe there, but once you start losing the fear of changing the recipe or going off the recipe and saying, well, I don't really like this ingredient as much, I'm going to take some less of that, and I really, you know, maybe I'll try adding this in. Oh, that does taste it. And you start to, you know, make a little note. Not, I mean, you know, this is an old analogy. I don't know if people have note cards or recipe cards, but you can imagine, you know, well, yeah, instead of a half a cup of sugar, I'm actually going to only add a third of a cup of sugar because, you know, I don't like it as sweet or something like that. So, you know, and people, and, you know, the reason that a lot of bloggers and live streamers do it is because they like the idea of sharing and helping people get going.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, because, you know, once you get excited about it, then you'll be able to kind of get going on your own. And then now you're not just having to, okay, well, let me look on the blogs and see what's the flavor of the week for. And actually, it seems like flavor of the month and flavor of the week has actually kind of been a lot less, you know, like there are still new things that come up, still new markets that get going. Yeah. But maybe it's just because I've been doing it so long that I don't really notice.
I think it needs like a new feature in WoW to really get a new flavor of the month. Like mm-hmm. the Transmog
yeah.
feature was a huge
yeah
like was a huge deal because suddenly this whole new market opens up
mm-hmm.
that no one really thought of before, like except for maybe the people on the role playing servers who were looking
yeah.
out for certain gear and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the Transmog feature just made that mainstream, and a lot of people started caring about that. So
yeah.
there's a whole new market.
It was really cool watching the whole Transmog thing take off.
Yeah.
Okay, so bottom line, if you are interested in gold, start small. Just keep pretending that you're doing something that, you know, if you're losing money, find your favorite gold making blogger and just send him an email and say, hey, I'm losing money. Give him some specifics. Mostly, you know, just ask him a specific question about a specific market yeah. and they'll usually be able to give you an answer. All right. So the last topic that I wanted to talk about is Trade Skill Master 2.0, our impressions. We've both been using it for a while now. I've been only using it since public beta. Or no. I've been using it longer than that. I've been using it since they kind of let some of the bloggers in. How long have you been using it?
I've been using it when they started opening it up for the premium members of the consortium forum. So that's probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure. I didn't get started right away. I don't quite remember. But so it's been some time. I could familiarize myself with it.
So what are your impressions of TSN? I know what mine are, but what are yours?
I love it so far. It's really great. But I think so far I'm not really using it to its full potential right now. I'm not that good with all the formula stuff. The new operations are great,
mm-hmm.
but I'm probably not smart enough to really go into the nitty gritty and figure all this stuff out for myself. Like I'm probably still in the mindset of TSM 1.0.
Uh-huh.
I'm still using most of like my old just set gold prices, and I have very individual operations for my individual groups. Like, not all of them, but for a lot of them.
Are you clicking your keyboard or something?
Or
mouse?
Are you
typing a letter? Help, please, help. I'm getting, get me out of here.
I was walking through the auction house.
Oh, okay.
I can't stop.
That's why our Skype was going down. You're playing World of Warcraft.
So sorry.
No, it's okay. So you've been using it, but you've been using it in a TSM 1.0 mode, kind of.
Well,
in your mind,
kind of. I'm probably still a bit too set in my ways, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's also a bit part of the routine thing.
Yeah.
I started doing things a bit differently with the way I set up my groups and the way I set up my operations. But it probably takes some smarter people than me to figure out how to unlock the full potential of the 2.0.
Yeah, one of the things that's great about TSM 2.0 is that, kind of like an old person with a cell phone, like, probably even if you only know how to do a few things on it, even though, you know, an old person might only know how to bring up the phone and dial with their finger and call somebody because that's what they're used to, that doesn't mean that just because they don't use all the other apps and all that other stuff that it's not getting the job done that they need to do. And with TSM, like, one example for me was in TSM 1.0 was when I read the what was it called? It's on the consortium forums post about enchanting items like a boss.
Setting up enchanting like a boss.
Yeah. Like, that was one of the really influential posts, or, you know, because it made me think about some aspects of TSM that I had never even thought of before. Mainly, trade or percent based pricing, because it had set a lot of that up, and using the Undermine Journal GE. I think that might have been the first time, I don't know if it's the first time I downloaded the Undermine Journal GE or it's the first time I, you know, was using it for pricing sources. And there's times when your mind just changes because something just comes in your mind and you're like, oh, okay, so, you know. And I think for TSM 2.0, I remember I listened to Goblin Rasset talk a lot about formulas for pricing sources for materials. Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of crafting, so it's not as important to me, but the fact that he could make a lot of these intricate formulas that, you know, he could really tailor his map prices, you know, based on, you know, the highest or the lowest or minimum or maximum of these types of different things. And again, that's a little bit over my head because the way I use it mainly is for flipping items. But I've been amazed at the elegance of TSM 2.0 after you use it long enough to get every time there's something new, you only notice the differences. Like, oh, well, this does something different than that. Well, maybe you don't realize, you know, you want it back the way it was because that's the way I was using it, and now I can't do this one thing. But I think for me, TSM 2.0, I really like the power of the groups and being able to kind of move groups around. Now, there's some still a little bit of weirdness with the groups where I'm still learning about the fact that the groups and the subgroups are also in the main groups, like container, I guess you could say. But I'm getting used to it, and I'm just trying to think of some of the things about it that I really, really like. One of the best changes, well, there's two main changes that I really love. One is the ability to make pricing operations based on percentages without having to have items in individual groups, which is one of the kind of the...
Yeah, that's just amazing. it's so good for things, like for my gems especially, because like I, if I decide to post like a cut blue gem, I want it based on the mat price for the uncut blue gem. So it doesn't make sense to have like 15 individual groups for all the types of gems I can cut out of that. I just want to have one group.
That's interesting. I never thought about actually doing that. I've been using the Undermine Journal GE for a lot of my percent-based pricing, but I hadn't thought about actually looking at trying to find the percent of raw cost. That'd be interesting to do. See, like, you guys are a lot, you know, you guys are through a lot more advanced pricing stuff for crafted items. I'm trying to think of, there was the other thing that I love is the bank UI for the warehousing bank UI options to move the
shortfall.
Yeah, move items
it's
out
of amazing.
Yeah. Me and Goblin fought him. We're like banking him. We're just like, come on, we're in the IRC channel. Like, the thing about that, the developers is it's not that there's necessarily that they don't want to do something or add something, but they just need to be convinced that it's worth their time to, you know, put it together. And once I saw that they had added move post cap, I thought, well, you know, can you make it so that it can also move auction house shortfall? Because it makes it so much easier for me to repost my, I could just log into the game, go check my auctions, go to the auction house or go to the bank for my flipping items, and it just pulls out all the items I need, and I run back to the thing and post, and it's just like, oh, it's so nice.
It makes more sense to me as well, because why would I pull out post cap if I still have one or two items? Like, if my post cap is two, why would I want to pull out two items if two are still on the auction house?
There is one good thing for post cap, one kind of unusual use, is if I needed to find duplicates in my bank and I had enough bag space, I could pull out post cap and whatever was left in the bank would be duplicates. So I could like move those over to the right of the window, put everything back into the bank, and then just pull out those items and go sell them. Cause for example, I only keep one extra of each, green, you know, item that I flip. So to keep my, you know, to keep my stock down, because if I buy it for 45 gold and I sell it to the vendor for 13 gold, yeah, I'm losing some money, but I'm also burning it out of the economy, and I don't end up with a lot of back stock. So that's one kind of interesting use of post cap, is to kind of find out if you have, you know, duplicates that you need. The other thing I've been really liking is the shopping operations for groups, and I mainly had been using Auctioneer, because Auctioneer had the option to sort by, or to search for items by level range, you know, type, so armor, item level, and price.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was looking yesterday, and Trade Skill Master can now do almost that exact same thing. You can go and you can set up searches with some checkboxes and entry fields that look very similar to Auctioneer now. So you can go, you know, level, say, like level 83 to 84. You can put an item level in. You can put a type, so you can do...
Oh, that's my cell phone.
Ah. We're going to take it over by the aliens. You can do item level. You can do... type, so you can do cloth, armor that's cloth, and then you can put a price in, so you can do like 45 gold. But and then there's a list, and if you, I think it's if you right click after you do the search, if you go back, there's kind of a search history. You can right click on one of those entries and it'll put it into a favorites section at the bottom. So you can create those saved searches like you can in Auctioneer, but the only thing it can't do is it can't ignore items, which is one of the things I liked about Auctioneer, because I could ignore items. And this is where it's really powerful, because if I have groups, say my flipping groups, what I can now do is add a 45 gold shopping operation, not necessarily tied to the thing I just talked about, but just as an operation to that group. And so if I'm on my character that sells 87 to 88 Mr. Pandaria items, I can just, after I'm done posting, I can just do a shopping operation for that group, and it'll just find all the items that are 45 gold and below, and bam, I could just buy them. And if you're a little bit more advanced, you can do F/F stack, which brings up World of Warcraft's frame stack window, and you can actually modify your Trade Skill Master macro, which you can create in your shopping, or sorry, in your, I think it's under auctioning operations, options, the one that everybody uses to hold control and move your mouse wheel up and down. Well, that macro is actually very good to actually add other items to. So I was able to put up an item first, you know, use F stack, pay attention to what the topmost button was named when I would click purchase in Trade Skill Master, and then it brings up a confirmation dialog box, and I was able to find out the name for that button as well. So the purchase button and then the yes button, or whatever the button is called.
Oh, yeah, put, it's a confirmation actually.
Yeah, put
it, I have both that of, my code as well.
Yeah, put both of those into the Trade Skill Master. Now put /click/space those button names into the Trade Skill Master macro. Now you want to probably copy that macro once you've modified it and make a new macro that's just a backup, because if you ever on another character and you need to bind scroll wheel or create macro and bind scroll wheel, it'll actually overwrite your TSM macro, so you'll have to go back in and add this. But just adding those two things to that macro allows me to say search for all the items that are in my group for 87 to 88s that are and that actually eliminates the items that are bad, because if I'm not buying bad items, then those there's no bad items in the group. But then once I click, I just search, click on the top item, and hold my mouse wheel and roll it back and forth, and it buys. So it's very similar to Auctioneer, where it had the option to purchase all, and that would allow you to just click yes, yes, yes. So it does take a little bit of a hack into your, you know, hacking into your macro or adding onto your macro to get it to work, but I've been able to use that to good effect as far as purchasing out. Now, the thing is, it'll only look for items that are in your group already. So, for example, if there's an item on the auction house that isn't in your group, and that's kind of what I'm going to at some point put out a post about, but that's where I was getting into the, I'll just talk about it. It doesn't matter. But, I'm working on building a Trade Skill Master list for that includes the suffixes. So
yeah. You can do that actually pretty easily. You can add the item IDs,
mm-hmm.
and that will just include all the suffixes. That's what I used for my, troll transmog groups.
For yeah, example. But I don't want it to have all the suffixes because I don't want to buy certain items. So.
Oh, okay.
But I actually, it was funny. I was trying to. So what I needed to do was find the suffix and also find the item ID. So I went to once I already knew how to find the suffixes and I already knew how to find the item IDs, but I went into Trade Skill Master chat and I was like, can you add item IDs when you're importing items? And then while I was waiting for an answer, I just moused over the in Trade Skill Master 2.0 for import export on groups, and it even showed in the tooltip. It showed the syntax for it, so it's essentially just the item ID semicolon dash then this suffix. So anyways, what I was working on was what I am working on, and it's going to be a little bit of a process, is trying to build Trade Skill Master groups that include all the items for, say, you know, 83 to 84, but also include all the suffixes that are good. So it's a little bit of a task, because there might be like 8 suffixes that I like on, say, a cloth item. So, for example, let's say that there's, I'm trying to think of one of the cloth item names. Well, it's not a cloth item, but let's just say that we'll use a leather. Say there's 8 suffixes I like on a leather item. There might be, say, like vine bracers, and now it's 8 copies of vine bracers that all have all the different suffixes. So it's kind of it's a lot of building in spreadsheets, these import strings. But ultimately, if I get it to the end, which it'll take a while and I'll probably be working on that, what I'll hopefully end up with at the end is a set of importable lists that includes the items I purchase and the valuable suffixes, and I won't have to use Auctioneer anymore, because all the items I could ever want are all just listed into these Trade Skill Master groups, and I can just put a 45 gold shopping operation on it, for example.
That sounds very complicated.
But just as a it's
A lot of work, mostly. Not really
that complicated. Yeah, it's a lot of spreadsheets. It's a lot of concatenating and parsing out things. But I think I got it cracked. It's one of those ideas where you think you know how much it's going to take, but then ultimately it'll. I think it'll. Yeah, you'll have to wait. You guys will all have to wait for the posts. But I think it could be something valuable for me, because then I don't have to use Auctioneer anymore. I don't have to worry about ignoring items, and I'll have. But for example, cloth. I did 83 to 84 cloth, and just the cloth items alone had about 127 items. For just two levels, so two levels of cloth. Mm. So
plus all the suffixes, it's a lot of items.
Yeah. But you know, I think right now just pulled up my earphones. I think right now I normally have about 300 maybe 350 items per two level range for flipping items. So like my 87 to 88 girl might have 150 to 200 items up at any given time. So just knowing that just the cloth has 127 items, and if that's true for all the other groups, which actually there might be more, because cloth is easy because it's only intellect, but leather is going to have intellect and agility, and plate is going to have intellect and strength. Anyway, I think I probably lost all of our listeners, but for those of us who dig into this researchy type stuff, I think that it'll be interesting. It's one of my big, I do this big post every once in a while where I drop some knowledge on some people, and so that might be one of them. So.
Yeah, that's good, because as we said, you like as a new gold maker, you need some recipes.
Yeah.
So that's where you get them.
All right. Well, I think that we're going to go ahead and start wrapping it up here for this episode of the podcast, episode number 70. But before we go, E7, do you want to... I'm starting to ask my guests, if they are podcast listeners, maybe some of your favorite podcasts that you listen to. Could be World of Warcraft podcasts. It could be non-World of Warcraft podcasts. Do you want to give us a few recommendations that you listen to?
Sure. I'm a huge podcast listener and watcher. I pretty much watch everything by the Twit Studios. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to recommend the WoW Insider show, the WoW Insider podcast, for anyone who's bit interested in World of Warcraft lore and that kind of stuff. They're usually very good at that. And the Convert to Raid podcast, which, as the name implies, is about raiding in the World of Warcraft.
Right.
Those are my two favorite World of Warcraft-related podcasts, apart from the Power Word Gold podcast, of course.
Of course. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'll start giving some podcasts that I listen to. I'm going to give, I'll just give one every show, since... guests might come and go and they might get to give their few, but I'll just give my one. And actually, probably 90% of the podcasts I listen to are actually not World of Warcraft podcasts. They're technology podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm going to go ahead and recommend probably my favorite podcast right now. It's not necessarily technology, but it's called Roderick on the Line. R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K on the line, like on the telephone. And this is a show by Merlin Mann, who is also known for
Something Folders.
Yeah, 43 well. Folders.
Yeah.
And he does a podcast, Back to Work. I'll recommend both of those, Roderick on the Line and Back to Work. And they're really, really awesome. Roderick on the Line is... John Roderick is the singer for The Long Winters, which is an indie rock band, and Merlin Mann. So check out Roderick on the Line and also Back to Work. So those are some podcasts I love listening to every week when your podcast program says new episode. You're like, ah, yes. I'm so excited. I'm going to go, level or do something. I can't listen to podcasts and do anything that's important. Otherwise I don't pay attention to the podcast. Yeah. So, and those, we'll have links to those shows, those podcasts on in the show notes. So, all right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, E7.
It was, yeah, thanks for having me.
It was good to have the German precision.
I don't know about that.
Is that a stereotype?
certainly not about me.
All right. Well, do you want to go ahead and let people know how they can find out more from you?
Yeah, sure. It's E7F on Twitter. That is, again, the letter E, the number 7 spelled out, and the letter F at the end. And E7F.com. That's my website where I occasionally write something.
Awesome. And if you want to find more from us, of course, head over to powerwordgold.net. All the social media links are up at the top. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, what else? Let's see. Yeah. There's all the stuff's over there. So go check it out. Oh, and also, we've been doing the Chronicle. We do it generally on the weekends. So if you're interested in finding out more information from around the gold making community, head over to chronicle.powerwordgold.net and subscribe to the RSS feed so that you can get some perspectives from some of the other gold makers out there. So, and if you want to get a hold of us, if you want to, send us questions, tips, if you even want to send in an MP3 question or tip, which we always like to receive, you can send those to powerwordgold@yahoo.com. All right. Thanks a lot, E7. And we'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye. And I'm glad the connection finally stabilized.
Yeah. Maybe there's something wrong. Something wrong with my computer. The podcast gods are smiling down on smiling down on us.
It's because you didn't ask the question.
Yes.
After rebooting.
The question that shall not be named. Maybe the NSA is watching. They're like, we're looking out for anybody who asks the question.
Topics.